Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, September 2, 2019. Three exiled South Sudanese opposition groups have merged to fight the Kiir administration.
We will be using all the means possible to bring about this change. And we will be working together so that we resolve this crisis, we stop this war, we stop the suffering of our people.
And cattle raiders killed 8 members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force in Gok State.
The government is working day and night to make sure that all the culprits are apprehended. And this is what the State Security Committee has directed, that all the accused involved in this incident must be arrested and brought to book to face trial.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in Gok State say 8 members of the South Sudan People's Defense Force were killed by cattle keepers over the weekend. The Gok State Minister of Information, John Madol Panthier, says 2 cattle keepers were killed during the clashes with the South Sudan People's Defense Force. Panthier says the state governor has ordered for the arrest of the cattle keepers who were involved in the attack.
What happened was on 31st of August 2019, which was on Saturday, 26 soldiers from South Sudan People's Defense Force were instructed by the commanding officer to go and bring back the cattle for compensation of a person who has been killed earlier as in order to avoid revenge killing. As a result of the force entering the cattle camp, they fall into ambush of the cattle keepers' youth, killing 8 people and wounded 1. So, and then the other 7 reported back to the barracks. This is what happened. On the side of the civilian or youth from the cattle camp, 2 of them were killed instantly and no wounded being reported.
This sounds a little bit strange that cattle keepers can attack the National Army. What is happening in Gok State?
Not only in Gok State, my brother, as you have heard earlier, our president has issued a state of emergency that all the illegal arms must be disarmed from the civilians. The government is trying to make sure that the security must be back to normal. And that is why there are many attempts being made, and the government is working day and night to make sure that all the culprits are apprehended. And this is what the State Security Committee has directed, that all the accused involved in this incident must be arrested and brought to book to face trial. Because you cannot kill, you cannot rule a gang, an authorized gun, which is not authorized. So this is what the army is trying to do, as well as the government of the state.
With this latest incident where the army was trying to go and collect cattle for compensation to avoid a revenge killing, in a normal situation, it should be the police to go and collect the cattle. The court should order the police to go and collect. Why would you use the army?
Well, in a situation where the police is not able to do the job, then the army can interfere because when it is just left like that in the hand of the police, and the police is not well equipped to bring the cattle as ordered by the court, I think this will result in the killing of many people. And to avoid revenge killing, the authority has to use force so that to make sure that anybody anybody has a problem has to be brought to book.
Cattle rustling has been going on for quite a long time, and it is proving very deadly with the advance of communication and telecommunication, and now with the proliferation of small arms in the hands of civilians in South Sudan. This issue is a national threat. What is the state going to do to address or to prevent further killings in future?
Well, the only recommendable things to be done is only disarmament, comprehensive disarmament. And that is why our president, Republican order, imposing a state of emergency. So by doing this, and that one was interrupted by our partners that the state of emergency should be lifted. Now, with the lifting of the state of emergency, what is the health now? It is because that since the state of emergency is there, the state government is doing its best to make sure that all the illegal arms in the hands of the civilians are removed. And this is what, this is our belief, and this is what the governor has been doing with his, with members of his government.
You are saying that illegal arms should be removed from untrained people, but looking at the incident that happened at Gok State, it appears that these youth at the cattle camp are well trained if they are able to kill seven members of the South Sudan Defense Forces.
Well, that is not the case, brother, of killing eight people by use. The issue was an ambush. Like you, John Tanza, when you are just being cornered, you are ambushed by even one person can kill a number of people because you are coming and you are not seeing. The message to the people of Gok State is that the government of the state and the able leadership of Major General Madame Jungman is urging you and appealing to you to report yourself. Those who kill the soldiers, those who run away with the cattle, you are asked to report back to the government. This is the solution, running away with the cattle, killing the government forces with no reason is not acceptable and condemnable. So you are requested by the government to report yourself to the government.
That's John Madol Panthier, Gok State Minister of Information, speaking with me earlier today from Tribet. Three exiled South Sudanese opposition groups have merged to fight the government of South Sudan. The leaders of the National Salvation Front, the South Sudan United Front, and a new group calling itself the Real Sudan People's Liberation Movement, or RSPLM, say they will use all means at their disposal to bring change in South Sudan. Pagan Amun, former leader of the former detainees, formed the RSPLM. He says the vision of his group is to build what he called a new South Sudan.
We are unifying our activity to pursue the realization of this vision, to work together and united to bring about a new beginning and a new hope in a situation of desperation that South Sudanese find themselves. The purpose of our coming together is to work together and struggle to stop this war that has been raging on and to resolve the deep national crisis that South Sudanese have been suffering from and move South Sudan away from this failed state, this kleptocratic regime, so that we build a state that will have the interests of the people of South Sudan at the core and center of all the policies and decision-making of the government, so that we can have a state that will be a servant to our people.
How are you going to achieve this? It looks like it's a lot of things you're talking about. How are you going to achieve this?
We'll achieve this by mobilizing our people first and foremost. And secondly, we will be using all the means possible to bring about this change, this fundamental change that the people of South Sudan are aspiring for. And we will be working together so that we resolve this crisis, we stop this war, we stop the suffering of our people, we build a sustainable, viable state in South Sudan, we build a sustainable democracy in South Sudan in which the power will be in the hands of our people, and we will work to mobilize our people to bring an end to the dictatorial, kleptocratic regime that is destroying South Sudan today.
You are saying that you will use all means possible. This sounds a little bit ambiguous. You are one person who said in 2013 that you will want to pursue a peaceful means to resolving the conflict in South Sudan. Today you are saying you want to use all other means.
We are committed to peaceful resolution of this national crisis that we are in. We are committed, peaceful as the real SPLM. But, of course, we agree to use all means possible. And because this is actually the standard SPLM strategic position when it comes to means of a struggle. So we will be having diplomatic mobilization of support to the cause of our people. Through that, we will be mobilizing the solidarity of the international community, the region, the Africa, to come to the support of the people of South Sudan. We will be mobilizing to organize our people in the country, first and foremost, so that we pursue peaceful struggle, including all forms of peaceful mass political action that will include protest, civil disobedience, and uprising.
Other people in your umbrella group are armed, like Thomas Cirillo has a military wing, General Paul Malong has a military wing. How are you going to ensure that your struggle is going to be peaceful, because you have people who are armed in your midst?
Every organization has an independent decision to pursue its objective through the means that they choose fit and they decide. And there is no contradiction here, because we are coming together around a common minimum program and a common understanding of what we can do together. We have agreed to work together, and there is no any contradiction. That is the basis, and that comes very clearly in our declaration of principles that we have adopted.
That's Pagana Mum, leader of a new group calling itself the Real SPLM. He was speaking with me from Hague, the Netherlands, last week. In the second part of this interview, which airs tomorrow, Pagan talks about the leadership of the new alliance. A former government minister and Juba-based political analyst says the move by Pagana Mum to form a new political party bearing the same SPLA name underscores deep mistrust and division among South Sudan's political elite. Peter Duok Nyaba says the new political alliance formed by the National Salvation Front, the South Sudan United Front, and the Real SPLM led by Pagana Mum highlights the fragile state of the revitalized peace agreement. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Peter Adoka Nyaba, a former member of the SPLM who heads the Lajor Consulting and Training Services, calls the Really SPLM Party and the alliance of the three rebel groups a big joke, saying it reminds him of the 1990s when the SPLM was founded and then split into various factions.
It tells you that the political space, the southern political elite are still divided. They are not working towards reunification and bringing themselves together. It also tells me that the SPLM reunification process that was done in Arusha is now has collapsed, because one of the signatories and the principal person in that reunification was Pagana Mum.
In a joint communique issued late last week, the NAS, led by General Thomas Cirillo, the South Sudan United Front, led by General Paul Malong, and Really SPLM, led by Pagana Mum, formed an alliance, dubbed the South Sudan Opposition Movement, and announced a new vision of hope and a transformation for South Sudan. The group said it wants to end what it calls a civil war by addressing the root causes of fighting and is seeking a permanent solution to the insecurity. It also said it plans to right the country of ethnic chauvinism, nepotism, and institutionalized corruption. Adwoka says Amom's decision to form a new SPLM party indicates he has rejected the notion that the current revitalized peace agreement will lead to peace and security in South Sudan.
It only shows that the peace itself, the revitalized peace, is checking. and it remains uncertain whether it will be implemented to the letter and the spirit.
While the National Salvation Front and the South Sudan United Front are not signatories to the peace deal, the former detainees, who were until recently led by Pagan Amom, signed the deal. Aduoka says while it is Amom's constitutional right to form a new political movement, it demonstrates the SPLM leader's ongoing failure to address the country's problems.
What we're waiting for from them is to see what is their on the political program they want to present to the people of South Sudan. They seem to suggest that they want to revive the vision of the fallen leader, Dr. John Garang, and to the best of my knowledge, that vision of the new Sudan has not been fully elaborated as to really come out with a political program. That's why we spent 21 years fighting, having liberated many parts of South Sudan, but we could not translate this vision into practice in the areas which came under the administration of the SPLM.
Other SPLM factions not part of Amom's alliance include the SPLM in opposition led by Riek Machar and the now defunct SPLM-IO faction led by First Vice President Taban Dengai. General Thomas Cirilo, Pagan Amom, and General Paulo Malong are all former members of the ruling SPLM party led by President Salva Kiir. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the governor of Jonglei State criticized his party. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your definition of bad manners?
Lack of respect. These days, children don't respect elders. They can insult them. Sometimes even they cannot feel like greeting them, which is not good. Careless language.
Well, I will talk about bad manners. Bad manners to me is relative, because what is bad to me may not be bad to you. As in, what people consider as bad manners depend on their own values.
When we talk about the bad manners, this is the behaviors in the society which is not allowed in the community, for example.
Anything that doesn't speak of you in a right way, like somebody who is not properly trained.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. A state governor and a prominent member of the Council of Elders says fighting to liberate South Sudan from Khartoum was a waste of time. Jonglei State Governor Maker Thiong Mal says the ruling SPLM party has failed to deliver services to the citizens of South Sudan and has caused more harm. From Bor, Manyang David Mayar has the story.
Addressing state officials over the weekend in Bor, Governor Maker Thiong said when the Sudan People's Liberation Movement mobilized South Sudanese to fight against Khartoum, the dream was to achieve a better life for all South Sudanese. He says the 21-year-long war to become an independent South Sudan would have been a waste of time if the government fails to provide basic services to the people.
When we were fighting, we were looking for a better way of life. Are we now enjoying it? Are we now delivering the services we were assuming that we are not getting it? Are we now getting the education you are denied in our work? And the list is long.
Thiong, who is also a state's SPLM chairman, says the SPLM vision of a better life for all South Sudanese has been forgotten. Speaking at times in Dinka, Governor Thiong said South Sudanese are undergoing untold suffering at the hands of their own leaders, even more than what they endured when the country was at war with Khartoum.
We have displaced our people more than the Arab did to us. We have oppressed our people more than that the Arab did to us. We have inflicted more suffering on each other than the Arab did to us. So we wonder what is wrong with our people now when they were united in the past.
Thiong, a member of the controversial Jiang Council of Elders, which is often criticized by some analysts for contributing to the conflict, denies the council is part of the problem in South Sudan.
That is a mere lie. How can we become a part of the problem when we were actually the leading people in this war? War of liberation. So how come that when we have the agenda of liberating people, how comes again we come and push people to the war again? No, we don't have any link with the president. It cannot be. We cannot just be connected because he's a Dinka by tribe. He's a president. He's guided by the constitution. Where do we come in there actually?
Thiong says the country needs lasting peace so the government can focus on delivering services to the people. Only 2 months remain before the November deadline to form a unity government expires. For VOA News, I am Manyang David Mayar in Bor.
Some residents of Juba Town are calling on South Sudanese leaders to unite all forces who are still in the bush and urge the officials to pay soldiers' salaries so that they stop stealing property from civilians. The citizens made the remarks during a weekend meeting aimed at promoting community dialogue on the revitalized peace agreement. Winnie Chirino reports for VOA from Juba.
More than 100 people attended the forum organized by ANIMIS in Juba's Kudele suburb on Saturday. The dialogue was held to encourage members of the Pre-Transitional Committee, which oversees implementation of the peace deal's pre-transitional activities, to interact directly with citizens. Participant Justin Luis says he has lost hope in the government because several signed agreements by the warring parties have been ignored. Speaking in Arabic, Luis says although the number of attacks by soldiers and citizens has fallen in some parts of the country, government and armed opposition forces should be united to improve security.
Let us have one army, and that will make the security good. But it is not good just because you are a major general. You take 100 soldiers to support you. Another one takes million soldiers. The army forces should become one so that they form South Sudan Army. Otherwise, having different armies won't bring peace.
19-year-old Wani Anthony says he doesn't know how much of the peace agreement has been implemented, but he has heard that pre-transition activities are being implemented. Still, he says, people are being attacked on the roads and robbed in their homes because armed forces are poorly paid.
Our major problem is we have the manpower, but we don't have the ability to motivate the manpower. We have the soldiers, right? We have the police. We have all the sectors, but these soldiers are not being paid to a level where it will restrain them from picking from the common man. But if the government can motivate them, give them what they deserve, give them something that can help them take their children to school, I think instead of terrorizing the common man, they will offer security.
Anthony is urging the government to create a mechanism under which the guns and ammunition distributed to all armed forces is accounted for so that the government knows which weapons are used in connection with a crime. Agnes Anthony, head of women's group in Kudele suburb, says people used to hear several gunshots each night, but the situation has improved in the recent months. But she says poor roads make it difficult for security personnel to respond to emergency calls, especially armed robberies.
We need them to make the road, the general road in any area, because if you have a good area, the security can move every time, and even the soldiers will be free to move. Even if you have any case at night, you will call them and they will come in the time you want.
Government spokesperson Michael McQuay, who attended the community dialogue, said it was important to extend the pre-transitional period by 6 months to implement security activities before the parties form a unity government. Speaking in Arabic, McQuay urged citizens not to lose hope.
On the 12th of November,
the government will be formed. I'm telling you this so that people won't tell you that that is nonsense. We who signed the agreement, we have agreed that we will start the implementation from today onwards. And now we are in the process of implementation.
Makwe says the National Pre-Transition Committee will continue to disseminate the peace agreement across the country so that people understand the deal. Last week, the NPTC team met the residents of Gombo Suburb. A number of hotels in Juba, including the Palm Africa Hotel, have stopped providing services to the parties who signed last year's peace deal due to lack of payment for accommodations. According to a letter by Palm Africa Hotel manager Tesfaye Alemu, National Pre-Transitional Committee members are still residing in the hotel, but certain services have been cut off, such as food and laundry. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sirino in Juba.
Children living in conflict-prone areas are missing education due to instability and displacement in countries like Central African Republic, Cameroon, and South Sudan. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The fund has raised $500 million since it began operating in 2017. In its first 2 years, it has provided emergency education for more than 1.5 million young people caught in armed conflict, forced displacement, natural disasters, and other crises in 29 countries. Director of Education Cannot Wait, Yasmin Sharif, says significant investments are being made in the Sahel, in countries such as Burkina Faso and Niger, where the needs are among the greatest on earth. She says children in Cameroon have not gone to school for 2 years as a part of a tactic of war. She tells VOA education is specifically designed to deal with the suffering experienced by children caught in armed conflict, all of whom are seriously traumatized.
So quality education requires mental health and psychosocial services. That's number one. And that is one of our absolute top priorities. Two, it requires inclusiveness and gender equality to ensure that every girl is put at the forefront, that they are no left the furthest behind of all those who are left furthest behind.
Sharif says the fund is working with the government of Afghanistan to bring girls back to school. She says displaced children in Democratic Republic of Congo are being provided with an education now, so they do not have to wait until the conflict ends. A recent report by the UN Refugee Agency finds half of the more than 7 million refugee children in the world do not go to school. Sharif says almost 50% of the fund's beneficiaries are girls. She says 46% are refugee and displaced youngsters, and 14,000 are children with disabilities. She says children who go to school are inoculated against many dangers. She says those who do not have access to education are at high risk of exploitation and abuse, sexual violence, early marriage and pregnancies, and forced recruitment by armed groups. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
That's our show for this Monday, which is a Labor Day across the United States of America. When I leave you with the song Africa by Salifu Kaita. You've been listening to Salifu Keita with the song Africa. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and vehicles. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.